This Odyssey Sports broadcast has been presented by Health Markets. Shop for health insurance your way.
Welcome in to Vern's postgame show.
God, a home run! A three-run homer for Salvador Perez!
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Fournier.
And just like that, all is well. Good evening. Welcome in. Let's have a good time tonight. Let's all share the positivity. We don't need to search for optimism. It's everywhere. Royals win 4-1 in classic 2024 Kansas City Royals style, meaning led by elite starting pitching and some outstanding defense. Now, we could dedicate this entire show to Seth Lugo. Seven innings of one-run baseball again. Back-to-back outings against first-place teams. And Seth Lugo goes out there and spins an absolute gem. Our phone number, our text line number, it's wide open. Let's hear from you. 913-586-7. 96.5 is the phone number. Let's have a good time tonight. Understandably, we haven't had the best week, you and I. Sometimes it's you, sometimes it's me. Either way, we've both been down at times, and hopefully I've been able to pick you up because I know you have picked me up over the course of this season-long seven-game losing streak that is no more. Royals win, they take the finale, they refuse to be swept at home. It hasn't happened at all in 2024, not at the K. Royals win, they send Cleveland out of town for the rest of the season. We won't see them again, well, unless we do in October. Royals win 4-1. Not only was Seth Lugo outstanding, not only did the defense set the tone right out of the gate with a beautiful sliding defensive stab by Michael Massey at second base, some big-time double plays, including that first inning, 1-6-3 inning ender. Seth Lugo showing off some gold glove ability out there on the mound. But you have Freddie Freeman throwing out another would-be base stealer. A beautiful 4-6-3 inning-ending double play in the fourth. Paul DeJong making plays over there at the hot corner. Just an outstanding night for the things that this team has done so very well for so very long. But if I can for a moment, how about the big knocks with runners in scoring position from the top of the lineup? Well, I guess that goes with the elite starting pitching and the outstanding defense, because big knocks with two outs and men in scoring position, that's what the top of this lineup has done all season. Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, most notably. But tonight, it's Tommy Pham running into his first big fly of the season. What a night for the old guys, right? Whether it's 33-year-old Seth Lugo, 36-year-old Tommy Pham, 35-year-old Robbie Grossman. How about the Paul DeJong coming up and starting off that four-run fourth inning with an infield swing and bunt? And I have to imagine that clubhouse right now is electric, especially for the Robbie Grossmans and the Tommy Phams. The guys that, sure, have been a part of this team since Sunday, but haven't experienced a celebratory clubhouse after the game. Haven't experienced a win, let alone a win that they are a key contributor into. A key contributor to their first Royals win, and to me, now we go. 21 to play. Tommy Pham is true blue. Robbie Grossman is true blue Kansas City Royal after this one tonight. When you play a key role in a big win, oh, you are now ingrained into the 2024 tapestry that is Kansas City Royals baseball. I know you weren't here for the first 135, but you might as well have been after this performance tonight. Phone lines are open. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. Again, that's the same as the text line number. 913-586-7965. Let's start off with Buzz in Lawrence. Buzz, you're hitting leadoff tonight. Go ahead, buddy.
Really great night. Hey, great night, Vern. I want to give a shout-out to Tommy Pham. It is so fun to have a personality like that on this team. I mean, he's got fire. He's not afraid of conflict, and he backs it up on the field. And I love
it. No doubt. Let me say this, Buzz. I appreciate the phone call. Not only was Tommy Pham big, but Michael Massey puts the Royals on the board, ties that game up after Paul DeJong and Robbie Grossman set the stage. Just a classic win by this 2024 team, led by elite starting pitching, outstanding defense, and a big knock with a runner in scoring position from the top of your lineup. And speaking of, let's head inside that Royals clubhouse right now and talk with tonight's victorious pitcher, Seth Lugo, kind enough to dial us up after his 15th dub of the year. Seth, thank you for the time. Did you feel as in control of the game as it appeared from the press box?
Yeah, I think today, you know, I had a really good command with all my pitches. You know, moving fastballs both sides of the plate, up and down, and throwing quality breaking balls to the bottom of the zone, and also moving those in and out. So, yeah, I felt like I had some pretty good stuff tonight.
A lot of big double plays, a lot of great defensive plays, well, in front of you from Freddie and behind you from the defense. Does anyone stand out as a allows you to exhale or a big out that's jumping out to you?
Yeah, I would say the one that stands out to me is the play Paul made over there by the shortstop area. That was a leadoff hitter, and you know, if you get the leadoff guy out, your chances of giving up runs really plummet. So that was a huge play. It was a really good play too.
What does the four-run fourth inning do to your confidence? Because that nine-pitch fifth inning that you gave this crowd, gave this team, was just what the doctor ordered.
It's you know, when the offense goes out and puts up a crooked number, my goal is get them back in the dugout as soon as they can and get the bats in their hands. So, you know, putting up a zero after them scoring multiple runs, that's it puts me on the attack, and I got to be extremely aggressive after they do that. So that's great when they can do that for me.
You've been around a lot of clubhouses, a lot of big league teams, a lot of good teams. While this squad was going through that 7-game losing streak, what impressed you? What stood out about how the clubhouse handled it?
Well, you know, every day everyone's showing up for work. We're getting here. We're getting our work done. We're preparing like that didn't happen. And I think tonight proved that. We showed up. We expected to win, and we came through and got the W.
Seth, are you one to scoreboard watch?
Not so much now.
So what does this feel like? What's the pressure? If you can explain it to the 15,000 that are driving home right now, what is this pressure of September and a playoff push feel like?
Well, you know, it's exciting. It's a lot of fun. You know, you're playing meaningful baseball. Every game matters. Every pitch matters. It really helps you focus. You know, it's you know, something you don't get to experience every year, but when you do, you really have to embrace it. And you know, you just enjoy the ride and stay focused. And you know, you treat it like almost like any other day where you got a job to do and you have things you have to execute. And you know, it's pretty fun.
How much does it help, if at all? Because everyone's grinding. Everyone has something nagging them. But when you have that carrot out there dangling, what does it do to the adrenaline to silence whatever pains you're feeling?
Well, you know, when you have that extra adrenaline, you know, you're fighting for something. It's that much easier to stay focused and, you know, keep grinding out for the goals that you set and, you know, as a team. And it's like I said, you know, you don't go through this every year, but when you do, you have to embrace it and you have to enjoy it.
Well, it's a joy watching you, Seth. Keep it up, man. I can't wait to see you coming up in the Bronx. And enjoy this one tonight because Lord knows you deserve it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for calling up. There he is, Seth Lugo. 15 wins on the season. Back-to-back outings with 7 innings of one-run baseball. And again, you know, this is a guy that has blown past his career high in innings pitched. Does that look like a guy that is fading down the stretch? Does that look like a guy that is lesser than from what we saw in the first half that ultimately led him to Arlington in his first All-Star game? Really appreciate Seth Lugo calling us up after this one. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. That's also our text line number. Let's go back to the people. As the Royals snap the skid, they take the finale from Cleveland 4-1, and they do what we've all asked them to do, and that is just hang on. Get to October. Boston lost. Minnesota lost. We'll see what Detroit does as they take on Yu Darvish and the Padres. But the Royals, at worst, maintain their 4.5-game cushion on this postseason spot they possess. Meanwhile, they're now just 4.5 games back of Cleveland in the American League Central. All right, let's go to Patrick. He was one of the 14,000 in attendance tonight. We're not going to make you wait on hold if you've been at this one. I want your experiences, what stood out to you, what impressed you, Patrick.
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call. I really enjoyed this game. It was great to see the Royals get back on the winning streak. I know we're all very excited about the win, but I got to start off with the negative. MJ Melendez today looked like a little leaguer out in left field. Out of my system, I can move on to the positive.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's been good this year at left field.
Lugo was amazing. Okay. The pregame, we were talking about we need to see Bobby and Salvi perform, but this is a good team, and the players, not Bobby and Salvi, performed, and they led us to this win today, and that was really good to see a good team win, and Lugo to pitch awesome. It was great to be there, good to be back on the winning side, and I'll listen off air. Thanks.
Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate it. Let's go to Austin in Kansas City. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, what a relief. What a gosh darn relief. It has just been a long, depressing stretch, really. I mean, after you talk about the roller coaster all the time, after the highs of winning two in a row and being in first place, getting just thrown down in the gutter and, you know, having the big crowd there on Labor Day and, you know, getting two hits. I mean, it's such a relief. And I think you could talk about Tommy Pham all night. I remember, I wanted him at the trade deadline. I thought he looked great in a Royals uniform, and man, he really came through, and we got him for nothing. So, you know, there's a lot of good things to look forward to. I think there might be some football game tomorrow or something like that, and big series against Minnesota. I'm going back. Might go to two of them against us. We're running out of games to go to. So, yeah, let's get positive. Let's have a great night. Let's have a great weekend. Let's go to New York and win a game or two. Let's go.
9 home games remaining in a get-going Friday night, Cole Reagans and Zebby Matthews. It's a 7:10 first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 6 o'clock. Yeah, it's been a frustrating week. But I wouldn't call, again, the fact that Boston just continues to wet itself has... Now, listen. Friday and Saturday, okay, I was with you. I was down and out. I was bumming. Maybe feeling bad for myself, and you guys tried to pick me up. But then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Boston continues to lose, and yeah, the Royals continue to lose as well, but it wasn't inflicting the same kind of pain that I thought it was going to. Right, losing on Friday and Saturday after losing Vinny Pasquantino, yeah, those games hurt because it just felt inevitable that Boston would get hot, that the Royals, well, for me it did, that Boston would get hot and this thing would get tight and maybe the players would get tight and, oh man, what a great season would end with some disappointment. Not enough to tarnish what has been an outstanding 2024. But then Boston kept losing. And losing and losing and losing and refusing to capitalize on the door being opened by the Royals. So, and I mentioned it earlier today on the On Deck Show. Boston had its chance. Why shouldn't I believe that the Royals are going to snap out of this funk before they do? And thankfully they did, yes, because of Seth Lugo, but Lugo's been outstanding for a large majority of the season. Now, Robbie Grossman and Tommy Pham, to me, are two guys that really stand out in this one. Not only because of what they did on the field, I think what they're doing inside that dugout, inside that clubhouse. Yeah, those additions, again, just continue to reflect an aggressive and smart front office. Royals are back to 11 games above 500, and we're back to the phone calls. Let's go to Jace in Kansas City. Jace, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Ryan. Hey, Brian. I just really appreciate you taking my call, and I appreciate what you've done over the years. You know, with us losing, having some really bad seasons, you sticking with it. Tonight I was out there in 210, and we were getting a little bit rowdy. I was out there with my girlfriend, and I, right as Tommy Pham came up, I said, if he gets a hit, I'm going to chug this drink. And then, sure enough, he hits that home run, and it was electric. It was awesome.
Did you polish the drink off?
Oh, it was gone in 2 seconds.
My man.
We were out there. We were down in Houston on Saturday, and it was a really deflating game to lose, but it was a fun environment. But, you know, this team has a lot of potential. We might be a little bit ahead of schedule on the rebuild. So, you know, where we're at now, it's really fun. I think it's just the beginning of another good run for the Royals, and I'm really excited for what's to come. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for placing it, Jace. Let's go to Ronnie in Lee Summit. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan as the Royals take the finale from Cleveland, winning 4-1. What's going on, Ronnie?
Hey, Vern, thank you so much. I really enjoy your show. You're the best, man. So,
thanks, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I went to my first Royals game today, and I sat in the first row over the Cleveland dugout. And I can tell you, in those first few innings, earlier you were talking about, hey, man, listen, they're not going to come out cheering for you tonight. Well, you were right. It was really quiet and irritable in those first few innings. But, man, you know, when Tommy Pham came and stepped up tonight, I just felt like, yeah, since the gut punch from Vinny, we finally have some veteran leadership on the team. And I really felt like the whole aura changed in the entire stadium with the team, with the crowd. And I feel like it's something that could catapult this team moving forward. And like I said, I think it was a mojo. Like, I felt like the Royals lost their mojo when Vinny got hurt. Like, really, yeah, it was a mental thing, not a... You know, and I felt like tonight, for the first time, hey, man, I think the mojo got ignited again. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
No, I think you're 100% right, Ronnie. I appreciate that phone call. The only thing I disagree with is, and it's nitpicking here, but you say, you know, finally they have that veteran leadership. Now, they've had veteran leadership all season. The veteran leadership, to me, is one of the main reasons why we saw this turnaround, this rebuild, jumpstart so quickly. Because of the veteran leadership of Will Smith and Chris Stratton and Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha and Salvador Perez and Hunter Renfro. There's plenty of veteran leadership inside that clubhouse, and there has been dating back to spring training. Now, to your point, when Vinny went out in that disastrous game in Houston, when you lost Vinny, I'm talking with Paul DeJong earlier today, and he talks about Vinny was just always quick with a joke. He's a vibes guy in the dugout, in the clubhouse. He keeps things light. He has a confidence about him. So when that guy, your number three hitter that also, you know, checks all those other boxes as far as his humor, his wits, his quickness, that stuff plays over 162 when, especially in a time like this, when it's understandable to get tight, to put maybe a little bit too much pressure on you. So when you have, first of all, a star, right? A clutch bat like Vinny's. When you lose that, that's obviously going to ding your confidence because a guy like Michael Massey or MJ Melendez or Kyle Isbell, Freddie Fermin, guys that are going through this for the first time in their professional careers, it's understandable that they think to themselves, okay, we lost that dude and we all understand how good he is. Now I need to do more. And that's not good. That's how you end up going into a slump. So there's that aspect of it, the baseball on the field aspect of it. But the confidence, I think when you lose Vinny Pasquantino, you lose confidence as a group. right? Because again, Kyle Isbell, a Freddie Fremina, Michael Massey, they have confidence that if I just do my job, if I just execute what the scoreboard dictates me to do at the dish right now, if I just do my job and turn it over to the top of the lineup, Vinny, Bobby, Salvi are going to drive me in. There's a confidence. It can, at times, relax you, ease the pressure of, you know, I don't need to do it all. Let me just do my job and let the big dogs eat when they come to the dish. So when you lose a player like Vinny Pasquantino, to me, there's some confidence that has been vacuumed out of that clubhouse. There's a void. And this late in the season, it's hard to replace something like that. Well, obviously, you can't replace that bat, that clutch gene that Vinny has, the eye that Vinny has at the dish, the humor, the intangibles, the confidence that he brings. It's tough to replace that. But Yuli Gurriel and his two World Series rings, Tommy Pham and his four separate playoff runs with four different teams, Robbie Grossman and his World Series ring and four different playoff runs with five different teams, or five with four. Either way, they've both been to the playoffs four times. Those three voices, presence, the experience that they bring, the stories that they can share, the encouragement that they can give is as close as, in my opinion, is as close as J.J. Piccolo and this organization could have, as close as they could have gotten to replacing the kind of confidence that Vinny brings to a clubhouse because of his ability. The confidence that those guys bring because of their experience, because of the dirt in their cleats, and when they speak, people listen. You know, I understand it's different, but confidence is all the same. Whether you get it because you know that guy's going to drive you in, or because that guy just told you you're good enough to thrive in October. And he knows. Look at his rings. Look at his baseball reference page. So I'm with you. That, yeah, Tommy Pham, Robbie Grossman, even a Paul DeJong, Yuli Gurriel. Yeah, the additions that this front office made, I continue to be home runs. And when you get that type of production on the field, a three-run game-winning bomb from Tommy Pham, a walk and a single from Robbie Grossman, man, that's just icing on the cake. To me, most of their heavy lifting is going to be done inside the dugout, inside the clubhouse. Well, maybe outside of Tommy Pham, right? Tommy Pham, you can make a case right now, is the third best hitter on the team. 913-586-7965 is the phone number. Again, that's 913-586-7965. I'm all sorts of fired up on a Wednesday. How long are we staying on the air? All night. I'm fine by me. I'm down to party after this one. The losing streak is over, and the boys are back to their winning ways. Let's go to Susie in Shawnee. Susie, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Bern. Big Royals win tonight. Lugo dealing dirty, nasty stuff from Bubich, and lights out Ursig. Sally gets the bats going, blazing into second. Bobby playing some ball, and welcome to the fam, fam.
Drop the mic, drop the phone. That is a home run right there, Susie. I appreciate it. Yeah, Tommy Pham's first home run as a Kansas City Royal is, certainly the biggest home run we've seen so far in the month of September, in the biggest September you and I have seen in almost a decade. Royals win 4-1. If you're on hold, stay right there. We got to take a quick timeout. We get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Vern's postgame show.
Witt dives, smothers it on the grass to his feet, throw to first. Oh, he got him! What a play! Bobby Witt Jr.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's postgame show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
The 2-0 pitch. Fastball drill. High in the air. To left field. Quan watches it fly. Tommy Pham's first home run as a Royal is a go-ahead three-run shot. What a lift for this Royals offense.
423 feet off of the bat of Tommy Pham puts the boys up 4-1. And then you just put your feet up and watch the pitching staff go to work. After that two-out, three-run blast from Tommy Pham, Seth Lugo comes out and goes 1-2-3 in the fifth, needing just 11 pitches. I think I said 9 to him earlier. If you missed it, Seth Lugo was nice enough to dial us up after his 15th win of the season. If you ever miss the postgame show, don't forget you can subscribe and download the podcast, All Things Vern. It's on the Odyssey app. It's wherever you get your podcasts. An 11-pitch fifth inning, 1-2-3, and then a 1-2-3 sixth inning, and then he faces the minimum in the seventh, and then Chris Bubich comes out in the eighth and picks up 3 punch-outs. And then Lucas Ursek in the ninth, 1-2-3, give me my 6th save since coming to Kansas City. Royals win 4-1, snapping a season-long 7-game losing streak and getting back to within 4.5 games of Cleveland for first place in the division while maintaining at worst a 4.5 game lead over Detroit for the final American League playoff spot. Detroit right now, taking it to Yu Darvish and the Padres. They lead 5-0 in the fourth. My thoughts are with Kathy, our in-house Padres fan. Kathy, hope you're doing well. Let's go to JD. He was one of the 14,000 in the building tonight. JD, what stood out to you?
What's up, Vern? I talked to you last night, and I said to you, Robbie Grossman, and I said, play these guys. And what happened? Was I not right?
You were?
The atmosphere was a lot better. Tommy Pham, what a find. That's all I got to say. I'm going for him for the leadoff hitter next year. I don't know what you think about that. And I say get a third baseman. I don't know if Matt Chapman's available or anybody else, but that's what I would do. And you have
to
remember.
I believe he has an opt-out, and I believe he will exercise said opt-out. Well, speaking of Tommy Pham, Tommy got the Joel Goldberg treatment. Got the Salvy Splash treatment. Let's hear Tommy Pham on the field after the game on Bally Sports Kansas City talking about stepping to the dish with two on and two outs in a tie game. What's the approach for the KG vets?
Really get those guys in. It's two outs. I know that, you know, they really don't want Bobby up in that situation. They're going to come right after me. So, you know, the main objective there was to get on base. And fortunately, I was able to get a hit.
You know, I'm looking at guys like you, Robbie Grossman, Paul DeJong, all a big part of this win. All of you started the season as teammates with Chicago. What has it been like to come over here? How reinvigorating has it been?
We joke around that they're bringing the gang back. They're getting the gang back together. So, yeah.
I was watching you out there in right field, too, pumping your fist after DeJong's diving play. Massey leads off the game with a phenomenal defensive play. What are you seeing from this defense? What are you seeing from the fight in this team?
Told Massey he reminded me of me in Little League today with that play. And that's a huge play by Paul right there because, you know, we scored a run, I believe, that the inning before. And for him to go out there and make that play that to get us back in that dugout is huge.
Last thing, you told me that the day that you joined the team Sunday in Houston that you hate losing more than anyone, that if you can get the 27 other guys to hate losing as much as you, not that they like it, by the way, but if they could hate it as much as you, that you guys are going to go places. What are you seeing from the character and chemistry of this group in your short time?
A lot of energy. We're off to a slow start, 1-3 since we all joined, but I think we could string together some wins.
There you go. Tommy Pham after the game on the field with Joel Goldberg on Bally Sports Kansas City. Well, that's exactly what we were just talking about with Tommy Pham, right? The little, now you can poo-poo this if you want, but a guy that just played in the World Series a season ago with the Arizona Diamondbacks coming up to Michael Massey, who, you know, let's be honest, when he makes that play in the first inning, Massey, that is, an outstanding sliding play as he's at second base. Stephen Kwan grounds it rather hard, right back up the middle. Massey ranges to his right and in one fluid motion slides, backhands, makes the pick, comes to his feet and makes a strong throw to Salvi at first. Keep in mind, though, Massey makes that play in the first inning, right? He doesn't come through with the game-tying RBI single until the fourth. Massey had hit third for this team in each of the previous three games, going a combined 0-4-11. The RBI knock that Massey had in the fourth snapped a personal 0-for-17. So when a guy like Tommy Pham comes up to Michael Massey and's like, hey, you know, give him a little encouragement there. Hey, you look like me in Little League, man. I haven't been able to do that stuff in 25, 30 years. Maybe I'm making too much out of it. I don't think I am, because I know the type of heart as a person, as a ball player that Michael Massey has. You know, he's wearing that offer coming into today. He's wearing this seven-game losing streak. I mean, he stood up in Vinny Pasquantino's wedding. Yeah, I mean, these guys are brothers. They're a family. So to have someone come up to you with the experience and the name of Tommy Pham and give you that pat on the backside, oh, who knows what that does? Who knows what that RBI knock does for Massey moving forward? I mean, you know he's capable of getting red hot. Not that this team needs him to get red hot down the stretch. It would be nice. But I'd prefer him get hot in October. Just keep doing what you're doing. You know, stay positive. Beautiful swing on a sinker in the middle to tie that bad boy up. He roped that thing into center. Royals win 4-1. Let's go back to the phone calls. And Gianni and Waldo, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Thank you, as always, for taking my call. I hope you're having a good night tonight.
I am. I hope you are as well.
You know, I am. I am. I got to watch the game from the comfort of my couch this evening. I really wanted to go out there and try to boost the numbers, but just a busy day. Sure. A couple things I just wanted to say. I think DeJong is starting to walk around with a little bit more of a confidence with him, and it wasn't just because of that diving, you know, out at third and kind of channeling his inner shortstop. But I think it's everything about Kansas City is about energy. I think it has a lot to do with the Midwest modesty, as some of us like to say. I know in the past, a lot of people joked that Kansas City was the farm team of the MLB. And with that, though, I think you have the ability to just chat with guys in the dugout and say, hey, you know what? This is what we're doing today. This is what our focus is. The egos don't get too big. I think it's a hard place to be a veteran to come in, end of the season, trying to find your place. And I think Pham did that tonight. You know, I think he's what, 31, 30, 32
no, he's
years
35.
Old?
He's 35.
Oh, I'm just complimenting the guy. So that's fantastic. You know, to have to recognize that you have to be a part of.
Excuse me, he's 36. Robbie Grossman's 35. Tommy Pham is 36.
Okay. You know, and that's even bigger, you know, because when, as a pro, as a veteran, you come in, you can have a lot of positive influence, but you can also bring a little bit of negative influence. And that's not to say that that's a bad thing. It's just time.
Well, that would
league.
Be a bad move by J.J. Piccolo if you bring in a guy that's going to have a negative influence. That's poor scouting to bring someone like that into this clubhouse when things are going so well. Now, Pham, Grossman, these it's not by accident that they've gone to the postseason this many times with this many different organizations. You know, I honestly, I don't think it's as difficult to find your role in the clubhouse. But what I do think is difficult to do is to ingratiate yourself with the team, to make everyone feel as if you have been through the ringer with them over the first 141 games. So when you come through the way that he and Grossman did tonight, to me it has a way of bringing the guys together, because we've all helped the boys in blue walk away victorious at least once over the course of the season. We've all gone to battle together, and we've all celebrated together now. So that's why, for me, these final 21, it's full bore ahead. It's now we go. Now we have all 28 that have all contributed to a win and now can set their eyes on the postseason and a world title. Thanks for the phone call. Good stuff as always. Always nice hearing from you. Let's go to our buddy Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my phone call, Vern. Look, Tommy Pham was a nice addition. I was talking with my friends about it today, and I said, hey, don't give up on the Royals yet, because I know you've told me this plenty of times this season when I was down on the Royals. You were right. They kept on winning, and I told them, hey, just keep on believing them. They're not cooked yet. And look, Tommy Pham, Robbie Grossman, the impact they've made so far has been pretty good. Let's just hope that they keep it up. And I'm excited for these next two series, because this is really what the Royals are about to see, if they're really going to go for a deep playoff push or just make it in and just, you know, do all right and maybe lose the first round or whatever. I'll listen out
we'll
there.
See. Yeah, we'll see about that. We still have 3.5 weeks before we have to start breaking down the Houston Astros or the – thanks for the phone call – or the Baltimore Orioles or the New York Yankees, whoever it is that you meet up in the first round of the playoffs. Well, I mentioned the Tigers were out in front of San Diego, but my guy Jackson Merrill just belted a 3-run home run. Tigers on top of the Padres, 5-3 in the top of the fifth. If that score holds, the Royals will be 4.5 games up on Detroit for the they'll have a 4.5 game cushion for the postseason spot they currently possess. Detroit comes to Kansas City for a 3-game series coming up in 2 weeks. Johnny mentioned Paul DeJong walking around with a little bit more confidence. DeJong today, the one of two Royals with multiple hits, DeJong and Tommy Pham, two guys that opened up the season on the Chicago White Sox. As a matter of fact, you look at tonight's starting lineup, half of the top six hitters were on the White Sox opening day roster. Now, your top six hitters, you had three guys that were in Kansas City on opening day, three guys that were wearing the White Sox garb on opening day. Following this 2-for-4 performance tonight from Paul DeJong, he's now made 22 starts since being acquired at the deadline, and he has an OPS of 860 in those 22 starts. League average is about 700. DeJong's OPS more than 150 points higher. My game notes following this 4-1 victory are brought to you by Jay Southland Tow. Be in the know when called Jay's Southland Tow. All right, let's go to Sandra in Phoenix. You're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, I feel that I should represent a bit the D-backs part of this story. And that is, I remember last year, honestly, they stumbled around in August and September, kind of in their own way, fell backwards into the playoffs. But once they were there, they really put me in mind of our 2014 team. And man, when they swept the Dodgers, you don't even know. This town exploded because there is a hatred of that team in this town, like, you know, used to be in Kansas City for the Raiders. Kind
well,
of
Sandra,
still
if
is.
You want my real opinion, I don't think that there should be the six seeds going to the playoffs. The Dodgers were the better team over 162, you know.
Well, I'm not saying, I'm not saying that they should have, but they did.
They
and
did,
Sam
you're
was
right.
A big part of yeah, there you go, once again. And Sam was a big part of that. You know, the man had 3 home runs, 10 hits in 16 games, and in the offseason, I was like, you know, I'd be interested in him there. And then at the deadline, as some of your previous callers said, I was like, hey, why don't you? And they didn't. And so when he came to town, I thought that was great. And I was watching.
It's been great so far. He's been outstanding, Sandra. He's been great. Thanks for the phone call. So far, Tommy Pham 5-for-17 since joining the Kansas City Royals. He's been great. Lucas Ursig's obviously been great. He throws a 1-2-3 ninth inning to pick up his 6th save since joining the Boys in Blue, and he addressed the media after the game on Bally Sports Kansas City.
feels good to be back in the win column, save or not. I mean, they called me to get the job done, so that's what I did, and I felt good. So we're just going to have to keep stacking these on and you know, keep playing hard.
There's no residual from the injury last week?
No. Hands completely fine.
This is the first time in
Yeah, I think the I found success, like I've said in the past, with you know, staying consistent in my process. So nothing changed today. Like I said, I felt good physically, and I think mentally the focus was the same. So I was just out there to attack the hitters and you know, stay aggressive in the zone. And today worked out, you know. Oh, I mean, that was about as electric as it could get. That was a really cool moment. I think that was the turning point in the whole game. I think, you know, I think at that point in the game, you could kind of sense the energy kind of flipped a little bit. And, you know, in the next inning, DeYoung made a really nice play at third. And, you know, Lugo took us the rest of the way and was able to get us into the bullpen with the lead. So,
7-pitch at bat starts off Lucas Erceg's ninth inning as he gets Andres Jimenez to swing through a slider. Then Jose Ramirez grounds out to second. And David Fry, back-to-back All-Stars, taken care of by Lucas Erceg. He gets Fry to fly out to right to Tommy Pham to finish off win number 76 on the season as the boys get back to 11 games above 500. Tonight, they trailed, right? 1-0 at the end of three, but they come back for the 36th time this season. That's the second most comeback victories in all of Major League Baseball. Let's go to Brian in Lansing. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. First time caller.
Hey, nice to have you.
Hey, thank you. So went into the game today, went out to left field, yelled up at Joel, said, "Joel, guarantee you win tonight." And after the game, went down to the, after he got done doing the interview with Tommy, said, "Joel, I told you so." And he laughed and smiled up at me.
Yeah.
But and Lugo, all right, man, what a game. Six hits, should have been three hits shutout. But, you know, I know you don't want to hear it, but MJ had three balls he should have caught. So it should have been a shutout for our man Lugo. But what can you say? 15 wins, Royals all the way, go to the World Series, and we're going to win it all.
Okay. All right. There you go. Brian checking in from Lansing. Well, you better call up more often then. If you have him going to the World Series, we're going to have a lot of entertaining post-game or I don't know if they're entertaining. We'll have a lot of exciting post-game shows. So I hope you're a part of them moving forward. MJ didn't have a strong night defensively. I don't think he should have caught all three of those. I mean, the one was a base hit that he turned into a double. So you know, he couldn't have caught that. The line drive, I've heard plenty of big leaguers say the toughest ball to judge is the line drive right at you, and that's what ate up MJ there in the third inning. You know, the play that fell between him and Bobby, okay, yeah, he needs to take charge on that one, I'm with you. But, you know, MJ's been a net positive this season defensively. And here in the second half of the season, again, the month of August, he was one of the 20 best hitters in Major League Baseball. I'm fine giving him a little grace, especially in a game in which the Royals win. They win 4-1. Day off tomorrow, and they welcome in the Minnesota Twins for a three-game series starting up on Friday night with Cole Reagans due up in the opener. Reagans in game one, Alec Marsh set to pitch on Saturday. And then Michael Wacha in the finale. Seth Lugo tonight lowered his ERA to 3.05. That's good for eighth best in Major League Baseball. We'll take our final quick timeout. Get back to your thoughts right after this.
You're listening to Vern's Postgame Show.
Witt dives, smothers it on the grass to his feet. Throw to first. Oh, he got him! What a play! Bobby Witt Jr.
on your New York. for Royals Baseball, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your new home for Royals Baseball in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Here's the pitch. Fastball shot back up the middle. Base hit into center field. DeJong rounds third. He charges in to score standing. Michael Massey delivers a hit with a runner in scoring position. And the Royals tie the game in one in the bottom of the fourth.
That's Jake Eisenberg, as heard here on 96.5 The Fan. Yeah, I think if you're a baseball fan, even if you haven't been following the Royals, just by listening to that call, you can say, wow, I think they've been struggling with runners in scoring position. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. Royals coming into the game hitting like a .165 with runners in scoring position over the course of that 7-game losing streak. Tonight, they get the job done, though. Michael Massey there with two on and nobody out in the fourth inning. And then Tommy Pham with two out and two on in the fourth inning. He goes bridge for the first time in Royal Blue. It put the boys up 4-1 in the fourth, and they would go on to win 4-1. As Seth Lugo was outstanding, Chris Bubich was nasty, and Lucas Urseg was, well, Lucas Urseg. Let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7965. We go to Seth in Waldo. You're next up on the postgame show. Seth, what's happening?
Hey, Vern, like third-time caller, man, and I enjoyed every time. I love listening. Just wanted to let you know.
That's nice of you. I
wanted to get
it,
your, yeah, I wanted to get your opinion on something. Obviously, we hit tonight. We had 10 hits, scored 4 runs. But over the last maybe 7 days, it just seemed like we couldn't hit the fastball. Why do you think that is, and how do you think that we can start hitting that fastball down the middle again? Because it just seemed like we just let it slip so many times. We fouled it off and on and on. I'll listen off air. Thanks, Vern.
Yeah, listen, I'm no hitting expert. I don't have an answer. I don't even know if that's correct. Yeah, I mean, I could tell you. I could make up some stuff. Yeah, no. What I saw from the offense over the past 7 games, you're talking about the losing streak, right? What I saw from the offense was a team that was missing confidence, missing Vinny Pasquantino, and a lineup that was easily maneuverable. It was easy to maneuver through that lineup, maybe would be a better way to put it. Right, when you have Bobby and Salvi without any proven protection, why would you allow Bobby or Salvi to beat you? I mean, you could say the same thing again tonight. Bobby Witt Jr. comes to the dish not one time with a runner in scoring position. Salvador Perez, he went 0-for-1 with a runner in scoring position, but over the course of the past 8 games, Bobby and Salvi have 5 at-bats with a runner in scoring position. So your big dogs aren't going to get anything to hit because you'd be a fool to let Bobby beat you, to let Salvi beat you. Tommy Pham, I'll tip my cap. Robbie Grossman, Michael Massey, I'll tip my cap. And tonight, Ben Lively is forced to tip his cap because those are the guys that beat him. But trust me. Well, you know what? I guess I could tell you this. If you see guys missing fastballs right down the middle, that's likely in their head. Just a little late. Yeah, I'm not smart enough to give you an answer on that. And again, I don't know if the data backs that up, that they're struggling with fastballs down the middle. I think they're also struggling with, Tanner Bibee and Gavin Williams and Blanco, Kikuchi, they face some quality pitching. Just needed that jolt of confidence, the belief that I don't need to do something extra. I know that's what Matt Quatrero's been telling him. That's what everyone's been telling him. Just do what you've been doing when Vinny was here. You don't need to change now that he's gone. It's easier said than done. Standing in that box, you understand how much this team's been reeling. And maybe you try and get big. Maybe you don't do what you've done, what made you successful throughout the month of August. I appreciate the phone call, Seth. I apologize for the weak answer. Ron and Lee Summit, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hi, Vern. So my son and I went on an epic baseball stadium tour over a four-day weekend. Friday night, we were at Yankee Stadium. Saturday night, Phillies. Sunday, we were in Washington, D.C. at Nationals Park.
Wow.
And Monday, Camden Yards in Baltimore, and a nonstop flight home. So I have a very supportive wife because last night and tonight I was at the Royals game. That makes 6 days in a row. So I probably need some time off from going to stadiums. But also, while I was gone, I felt like I needed a break after all of the injuries that had occurred to the Royals. I love this team. I've supported them all year long. But it felt like we were all living under a dark cloud for about a week. Fans and even the team. It's really hard to pick yourself up after key guys get injured, several of them within just a few days' time.
Right.
But tonight, it feels like that cloud is lifted, and it was great to have Q back behind the bench.
Yes, it was. Hey, let me ask you this real quick, Ron. How would you rank those four stadiums?
Oh, my goodness. Really, my son and I agree that out of the four, Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia is iconic.
Really?
So every seat filled, every fan in on every pitch. And yes, they boo every opposing hitter when they come to the plate, but they're really not mean or nasty. They were nice to us. I had a Bobby Witt jersey on. My son had a Royals cap and a Cardinals jersey on.
Yeah.
But they weren't unkind to any of us. In fact, they were friendly. We loved the Philly fan base and that stadium. And then Yankee Stadium with all of its history.
Sure.
It's right up there, too.
Yeah.
Nationals Park, one of the best things about that is they have four mascots. They're all U.S.
Yeah, the president's race. Yeah.
Really tall. So it's the guys that are on, the National Park Monument. So it's Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln.
No, don't tell people. Most people listening don't know that. And the fact that they don't know that, they shouldn't learn here on a postgame show on sports radio. So don't tell them who the four presidents are on Mount Rushmore. Go read a book, Kansas City.
Exactly. But then Camden Yards is just beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. No doubt. Well, I'm glad you had a good time, man. I hope the son appreciated it, and even if not, he will when he's older, that's for sure.
He did. Thank you.
Good. Well, I really appreciate it, man, and hope to hear from you more often down the stretch. 21 to play, only 9 home games remaining in the regular season. Let's go to Batman in Kansas City. Batman, what's happening?
You know, it's been a bad cold stretch there for us, Bird. But I think Red Wednesday got us some positive karma. And you know what? We needed that win, is all I can tell you.
But we control
our own destiny. And you know what else got me up today was your pregame, because I could tell it in your voice that we were going to do something.
So yeah, felt good about this one.
And advance on to the playoffs and see what's up.
Oh, Batman.
Anything can happen.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call, man. I don't know what it was. You know, seeing Matt Quatrero back with the team, you know, there was a energy in the clubhouse today. You know, the music was right. The conversation was loud. Just felt like a winning clubhouse today. And Seth Lugo's on the hill. You always feel a little bit better when one of the best right-handers in the world is taking the bump. You also feel pretty good when one of the best lefties is taking the hill, and that's what the Royals have coming up on Friday. More on that in a moment. But let me go to the text line real quick. I understandably have been steering clear of the text line of late. But let's see where they're at tonight. 913-586-7965. From the 913, Vern, seeing MJ Melendez go from being the heir to Salvador Perez to now being a pretty good left fielder is pretty awesome to me. Well, that's nice that you write that in. MJ, understandably, had a rough night, 0-for-3 at the dish, a rough night defensively. I think way too many people are quick to note that when they call in so far. You know, with everything that MJ did last year, learning a new position on the fly at the highest level to be as quality as he's been this year in his first full season as a left fielder, man, I think he deserves a little bit of grace. I'll tell you what, man, this MJ seems to be the guy that y'all are quick to turn on. I don't know why that is. But I guess every team has one. You know, Hunter Renfro may have been that guy earlier this year, and then he just started raking. Now, speaking of Hunter Renfro, hopefully he's back. He's expected to be back, right? Expected to be back coming up on Friday for game one of that three-game series against the Minnesota Twins. Hunter Renfro tonight had a rehab assignment. His rehab assignment, I believe, was supposed to be at Double A. I'll take a double check of that coming up in a moment. But first, let's go to Chase in Shawnee. Chase, what's happening, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, Vern. Thanks for taking my call again.
Yes, sir.
There's quite a few things to talk about, but they all kind of got covered. I'll just leave it at two things. I think I agree with you regarding MJ. I think he's the most improved fielder we've had this year, and I think he's made not only some incredible plays, but some very clutch plays in some big moments. And I think we need to give him a little grace. You know, it could have ended badly, but it didn't. Everybody has those games, and
yeah,
I think
his teammates picked him up, right? You know, Lugo picked him up. That's I can't tell you how many times the boys did that back in 2015. Where I mean, game one of the World Series, Eric Hosmer was going to blow that game, and then Gordo picked him up, and Hosmer ended up playing hero with the walk-off sacrifice fly. So, you know what? Kudos to Seth Lugo for picking up his boy in left field.
Absolutely. I agree with you there, and that's what baseball's all about. The second thing, I think somebody harped on it earlier. It's so refreshing to see a front office go after it and put the money where their mouth is and not be satisfied with, you know, this season here. You know, Vinny goes down there, they're right after it, going and getting it. And, you know, I'll back up John Sherman 7 days a week if he's going to continue doing that.
No doubt.
You know, I think, you know, like Bobby said, and I'll leave it at this, I think he was interviewed either last night or earlier today. I would have rather had this 7-game losing streak right now than in October. So I'll leave it at that. Great win tonight. We needed it. And let's go Chiefs tomorrow.
Hell yeah, and you know it. You know Chiefs football right here on 96.5 The Fan, the same station you just heard your Royals pick up their 76th win of the season. It's the same dang station you're going to hear Chiefs pick up their first win of the season tomorrow night against Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, your new home for Royals baseball, Chiefs football, Mizzou, K-State Athletics. It's right here on 96.5 The Fan. Well, you mentioned Bobby Witt Jr., who tonight 1-for-4 with a double, his 40th double of the season. He's on pace for 45 doubles this year. But what's really impressive is he's on pace for a franchise record 93 extra base hits. I mean, the 81 extra base hits that he already has, picked up number 81 tonight with that one-out double in the seventh. His 81 extra base hits are already fourth most in Royals franchise history. In a single season, fourth most. We have 21 games to play. He's going to shatter a record that has been standing for nearly half a century. Hal McRae's mark set back in 1977. Bobby's 1-for-4 lowers his batting average to a major league best 339. and his OPS shrinks to 1,000. Well, just a shade above 1,000. Third best in Major League Baseball, one of only three big leaguers with an OPS north of 1,000. It's him, Aaron Judge, and Juan Soto. Bobby's on pace for 218 base hits. That would be the second most in franchise history. He currently leads baseball with 190 base hits, and his 40 doubles are good for third most in baseball. The kid is a freak. The Wit Watch is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Visit communityamerica.com to join. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Let's go to our buddy Dan in KCK. Dan, you're next up. Go ahead, pal.
Hey, Josh, how you doing? Yeah, Tony Fantone, Joel Goldberg. Yeah, it was nice to get that monkey off the back. And I like the team morale, Josh. And Robbie Gross reuniting with Will Smith. Can you imagine winning another World Series with the Royals after they done with the Rangers? I bet you
won't. Well, just the Will Smith
about.
Thing.
Let's sweep the Twins and let's have the Dodgers sweep the Guardians. I'm still not giving up on the
Let's just have this, Dan. Thanks for the phone call. Let's just have the Royals handle their business. All they need to do is just hang on. I don't need them to get red hot down the stretch. You just need them to hang on, get to October, and then unleash Lugo, Reagans, and you know the bullpen is going to improve come the postseason because you don't need five starters. So hopefully Michael Lorenzen's back. Maybe you're getting something for Hunter Harvey by then. Alec Marsh goes to the bullpen, maybe a Brady Singer or Michael Wacha coming out in long relief. Maybe a piggyback those guys come the postseason. Dan, always nice hearing from you. A few more from the text line, 913-586-7965. Larry in Belton is happy that, Q moved Salvi up to the three spot to serve as protection for Bobby Witt Jr. I'm with you on that one. Man, I loved this. From the 620. Vern, you said it earlier today. These young players don't know what they don't know. This current of the Riptide absolutely knocked their legs out from under them. But their energy and resilience, paired with the wisdom of the new old guys landing on their humble teachability, will result in them keeping ahead of the learning curve the way that they have all year. Really, since the last half of last season when they first learned how to hold on without Vinny Pasquantino. Yeah, I don't know how much you can really take from last year, to be quite honest with you, because last year when Vinny went down, that was a completely different, team. Yeah, look at the bullpen, look at the rotation, look at tonight's lineup. It just doesn't have much similarities to last year. But I agree with you that, yeah, the confidence was starting to not outwardly shake, but in the quiet moments, the guys could feel the pressure of being without Vinny, seeing the losses begin to pile up, knowing that they're opening the door for a Detroit Tiger team, for a Boston Red Sox team. Royals on pace to win 87 wins this season. What else do we have from the text line? We have Rally Mantis giving some love to Tommy Pham. We have Mrs. King, an English teacher. Says, the newest Royals showed their stuff tonight and it came at the right time. It was nice being at the game, but I wish I could have heard Denny call the game. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you can, honestly. If you have the Odyssey app, bring some headphones. I guess the app is kind of delayed, right? Yeah, maybe that won't work. Nah, I guarantee that won't work. Ah, never mind. Well, you know what? Then, if you're not at the game and you want to listen on the Odyssey app, well, you can do that. Maybe this wasn't the best endorsement or commercial for the Odyssey app, but what I'm trying to get across is if you're in the 96.5 The Fan listening area, you can listen to Royals games right there on your phone using the free-to-download Odyssey app. You can also listen to Royals games on your smart speaker. Again, courtesy of the Odyssey app. Hippie Doug writes in, first off, thoughts to Matt Quatrero and his family. Glad to see him back there tonight. Can't help but think that fueled the boys. Well, you know what? To go back to that previous texter, you want to bring up last year? For the guys that were a part of that 106 loss team, at least the adults, if you didn't feel some type of way seeing Matt Quatrero return after the passing of his mother, after being at the services, I could promise you. They're a family, right? If you go through what they went through last year and have gone through what they've all gone through this year, I mean, the lowest of the lows and so far the, I mean, unimaginable highs. Nobody saw this coming into the season. There were few people that said, yeah, the Royals can compete. I know Yonder Alonso actually said they would win the division. So I guess there were some people out there, but not many. Yeah, you become a family. I mean, you remember when Mike Moustakas' mother passed away, Chris Young's father passed away in that championship season of 2015, the way that team came around each other, I mean, supported one another. Yeah, I mean, Q's a good dude, man. And I barely know him, right? I'm just a media guy. I get to see him a little bit here and there. To go to battle with this dude every single day, yeah. I mean, it goes without being said. I'm going to win one for the skipper. And the boys did that tonight. 4-1 the final score, and now they look to make it 2 in a row. The Minnesota Twins come to town Friday night for a 7-10 first pitch as Cole Reagans squares off with Zebby Matthews. We get our second look at Zebby. Hopefully it goes a little bit better than the first time. 6 o'clock for the On Deck Show. I'll talk to you live from Kauffman Stadium. I'll give you a chance to win tickets to the final home series of the regular season, that Friday, Saturday, Sunday matchup with the Giants. So be listening Friday for the On Deck Show beginning at 6. And of course, tomorrow, Chiefs Ravens right here on your new home for Royals baseball and Chiefs football in Kansas City. It's 96.5 The Fan. James Howell, great job tonight, buddy. Really appreciate your help. Kansas City, thanks for listening. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Pasquantino smacks it deep to right field. His second home run of the game.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 96.5thefan.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.